glory. I ran into something again from the scriptures, and in the book of Revelation, in the third chapter, you know, we got seven churches in the book of Revelation that are mentioned, and there's an exhortation to six of them. There's a rebuke to six of them. There's all kinds of things to six of these churches, but there's one that is not. The Church of Philadelphia. And anyway, and they are recognized as doing something that it says nothing about in any of the rest of the churches. And I'm going to read it. This is in Revelation chapter 3. And he says in verse 8, I know your works, and behold, I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word. You have a little strength and have kept my word and has not denied my name. Is that registering? You have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews, and which are not. Now, saying that they are Jews, meaning the word, not as we think of it, but the real saved Jews is what they're talking about. We see another reference to that. And they're not Jews. They lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Now, verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I think, based on some other scriptures that we have been running into, I think I'm beginning to see something. Because you have kept the word of my patience, now let it register. This, the mercy, the long-suffering, the patience of God. This is a revelation of the nature of God. And because you have kept the word of my patience, guess what the promise says? I will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Is it any wonder that God has done what he did and has pointed us towards a constant intake of the scriptures day and night, like the promise we see in the first verse of the first Psalm? Blessed is the man whose delight is in the word of God. And on that word does he meditate day and night. Who puts the blessing there? It comes from God. And so anyway, he says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from this hour that is going to come upon the world to try it. I moved back here from Seattle after having a scary dream, in which I saw an angel, and he said, you just have time. You know, he said, the Lord's coming. And I said, do I have time to tell my loved ones? He said, you just have time. And then I saw a gathering in the field, you know, up where I used to live. And a lot of people were gathered together. And then I heard this sound of the trumpet, and a lot of people, you know, there were lots of people who had gathered together, and they were caught up into the air. And then I thought, believe in the rapture or don't believe in the rapture, no matter what people think or don't think, I had an experience where I saw this thing in a dream, a scary dream. And which enough of a promise in the dream to cause me to move from the place that I loved. I love Seattle. And move back here to the frozen tundra. And so anyway, my feeling from the scriptures is that those that love him and those that keep his, isn't that what it says here? Keep the word of my patience, I will keep you from that hour. The weakness today, the weakness of everything that I have ever been affiliated with is the weakness of private interpretations, creeds, church doctrines, and so forth versus the Word of God. I didn't know it until I started listening to it. And so anyway, and then in verse 12, okay, now we're going to change horses. And you explain this one to me. Now these red letters mean that these are the words of Jesus, and he's addressing the seven churches. And he says in verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. What do you mean? How can he say that? And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which come down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. How does he boldly make these kind of statements? You know, what is the reason for all this? Well, anyway, we look at Jesus from a different standpoint than the scriptures do. I mean, I have a lot of interchanges to deal with a lot of things. And so, Glenn was telling me about some verses of scripture that, in a couple of the end times, one of the thieves on the cross both denied, or you know, they were just like they were both antagonistic toward Jesus. But in one of the settings, the man said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And it's like, what happened? I said, you know, I don't know, but I can tell you lots and lots of other discrepancies as well. But it doesn't change the scriptures. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. And so you listen to the Word, and the Bible itself will build faith in us. And what has happened to me, and I've been through, you know, 15 years of this thing, but in the process of doing so, the Bible has become the Word of God until I don't have any questions concerning it. It's like, this is what God said. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. He has spoken to us through His Son. And I'd like to include the Son's disciples, the Son's apostles. And so what we have is a major, major book that goes ignored, unread. And as I have listened to the scriptures constantly, my thought has been, how could we ever have missed so many truths that are in there? So many things that are so obvious. Things, they're obvious things. How do you miss them? And you know what? John the Baptist said, no man receives anything except it's given to him from above. And the reason that we've missed them is because it requires God to reveal it, and he waits till we're ready. We think we're ready. We're not, you know. We don't drive the car at 12. We'd like to. And he waits till we're 16. You know what I mean? He waits till we're 20. He waits till we're, in my case, he waited till I was 70. And then he starts to do something that was phenomenal. Until it is no longer just a history book. It's no longer a little book of light. It's the Word of God. And anyway... much more to say.
Quick little scripture. Corinthians, I think it's the first one. We all know the scripture. It says that Paul, he says, I plant the seed, but you know, it's talking about man. We plant the seed, another man waters it, and God gives the increase. And just what I wanted to point out of there is that we need to very much remember that we men do not give the increase. And don't try to give the increase, because we are not God, we are not the Holy Spirit. We're just the plants, the seed planters and the waterers. And so whatever God does, after you plant the seed, that's and water it, that's up to God. And when God gives the increase, when the seed is growing or you see a sprout, then that's God is doing all the work. And I mean, it's not, I don't know how to say this, but then of course it's God, this is the glory to God of what's going on. So we need to say, we planted a seed, and that's all we do. Then we move out, we will move on and let God do his thing. And another quick thing, Candy and I, we have been talking about prayer a lot. God has just put it there about prayer the last couple of months at least. He showed us a few different things. Candy will come to me and say, hey, I was, about prayer, and Jesus says this, or the Bible says this and that. So I shared recently about being persistent, and just knock on the door until you get, receive what you get. Be persistent when you pray. Pray and then pray again, and you pray until you receive. And the other day, a couple of days ago, Candy was talking to Keith, and Keith said something, like the scripture of the fig tree. And Candy said, oh yeah, whatever. But Candy wasn't familiar with the scripture of the fig tree. She was, so then the same day, before she said anything, I came home and said, Candy, I said, let me show you something about the passage of the fig tree. She pays attention, so I tell her, I said, oh, that's the fig tree. She says, my dad was telling me, like Peter with the fig tree, and now she knew about it. And I shared it with Kent and I read it, and it's in two places. Well, maybe at least two. It's in Mark and it's in Matthew. And Matthew says, Jesus cursed the fig tree, and then the next day, they came. And so in Mark, it says that Jesus says, let no fruit grow out of you ever again. And then that's, it stopped, that phrase. And then Jesus went to the temple, and then they did a few things, and then they came back. So they kind of, they forgot about it a little bit, and they come back. And Peter says, to read it. Peter says, I just told you it was Mark 11, and I couldn't even find it. So Jesus says, when he sees no fruit, let no one eat from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. And then they went to Jerusalem, they went to the temple, and so forth. And then, the next day, it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. It's just so like all of us, so much like all of us. This is Peter. This is not a stranger. This is Peter. Peter, he's been with Jesus all this time. And he's like, Rabbi, the tree you cursed has withered away. And I would be so angry if I was Jesus. I would be so angry. But that's there to show us, and that's there that when we have unbelief, we're not being evil. We are just still walking. So when we feel like we don't have belief in us, we are not of the devil, right? We are not bad. God hasn't forgotten about us. He just wants us to keep praying. And says Peter did the same thing, and Peter eventually got the keys for the kingdom, and then he went on in Acts and did whatever he needed to. But so Jesus says to Peter about this. He says, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So and that's, he's talking to Peter, but he's reading the Bible for us. And according to this scripture, I call myself an unbeliever. And that's the truth. You know, I wish I didn't have to label myself like that, but I am, because I have doubt in my heart when I pray. I believe in God, but my faith is not where it should be, because I do have doubt. That is the truth. I don't have yet that place, but I do know, though. So when I pray about anything that I need to pray about, I do pray for faith. I said, Father, give me the faith. That's my first words out of my mouth, or when I'm praying in silence. Father, give me the faith to believe in my prayer. And I pray. And because Jesus says to keep praying, I keep asking. And when the prayer, the need comes to remembrance, I keep praying and pray and pray. And then you will receive, like the friend of the guy that went at midnight and asked for the loaf of bread. I was sick of it. He said, okay, I will just give you what you ask. But we have to believe, and we will receive them. But that's not the end of it. It's never the end of it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, and I was telling Candy we were praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, or forgive her, I'm going to add that, that you, Father, in heaven, may also forgive your trespasses. So when we come before prayer, we have to forgive everybody. So I told Candy, think about anybody, and, you know, this and that, and then, you know, she says it's true, and she, we prayed for forgiveness. Father, forgive, help us forgive those that have trespassed against us. Help us forgive. And we forgave, you know, whoever we needed to, and we repented for our sins, and we prayed. And so anyway, that's what God has been putting on us this last few weeks, I don't know, a couple of months, 3 months, about prayer. You know, Jesus also, he said, this is how you pray, say. And he goes on with the Lord's Prayer. He wants us to say the Lord's Prayer. And you know, pray, and you come clean. Ask for forgiveness, repent, and believe that what you will get will be done. You know, if you believe in your heart, not in your mind, in your heart, because somehow brain and heart are not connected. If you believe in your heart, you will receive what you ask. And I like one day to stand in something here or anywhere and say I'm a believer, you know. I believe that God will do what I ask. Also, he says, you know, if your word abides in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done to you. So I'm not calling myself an unbeliever that I don't believe in God. I'm just saying I'm an unbeliever, and I'm in a process of believing. The word is slowly abiding in me. I believe it abides in me now, but there's more word to come in. The word needs to keep coming to a point that when I pray and I believe, I will ask what I will, which will be according to God's will also. And I will receive what I ask. I'll leave this Bible here.
I didn't turn around to see if anybody's coming or not. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. That's in Romans 10:17, and in Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand." Okay, Pablo. By hearing, hearing the Word of God, we get faith. Faith comes by hearing. That's the Word of God. So Pablo has dedicated himself to the listening of the Scriptures, like we have, like you have. And so what happens, it's a process that's unseen because we're not working in a natural realm. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said, except you're born again, except you're born from above, except you're born of the Spirit, the three things, you can't visualize the kingdom of heaven, you can't enter into it. You have to be brought into a different realm in order to do this. And of course, that was the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, so then in the same, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But I tell you, what I started to say this is because what I just heard, Pablo, was the expression of faith. That's faith. I'm not there. There's a lot of people who go to church that think they are there. I've been there. I was there when I had this experience about listening to the Scriptures. I knew that I was in the elite class. I wasn't looking to know God. I wasn't looking to understand the Scriptures. I had it. I wanted the power to do something with it. And God intercepted me and said, if you want to find me, you've got to look for me where I am, which is the beginning of the constant intake of the Scripture, because the only place you find God is right here. That's the only place you find Him. You didn't find Him in my church affiliation. That's not where I found Him. And so we look at it and we think, well, we got a low faith. But let me tell you something. Your faith, Pablo, has changed so much. So is Charlie's, and so is Ken's, and so is, this one and that. Our faith has changed. My brother Joel. The faith has changed because the Word of God is changing us. And it comes without observation. We don't know what's happening. The Word does something supernaturally by an unseen God who's invisible, who is a spirit, and we can't even recognize what's going on because it comes without observation. I am totally transformed. I'm changed. I'm different. I haven't been like this. And when he was talking about, the difficulties like with Peter. After they had received the Holy Spirit, after the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, the authorities grabbed a hold of Peter and they locked him up and they were going to kill him. And in the middle of the night, an angel came and loosened his fetters fell off, his bonds, his chains. And when they got to the big iron gate outside of the prison, the gate kind of fell off its hinges. And the angel brought Peter up, and he went to the place where all of these people were praying for him. His friends, followers of Jesus, men of faith, they're in this place, and they're all praying, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and Peter looks through the knock, or through the little thing opening, and a girl, what was her name, Rhoda, I think, or something? And she's looking and she said, "It's Peter." And they said, "It can't be. It must be his angel." What are they praying for? Why should they be shocked when they look when Peter is standing at the door? Couldn't God get him there? You know what I'm saying? But you know what? That's us. That's humanity. That's what we're like. God is a miracle, and we don't. I've seen a lot of miracles. I don't think I've ever expected it to happen when it happened. The night deliverance started, I didn't expect that. When I had this experience with a you know, to turn on to the scriptures. I didn't expect that. I was dumbfounded, sat back in my heels. I didn't expect it. When we saw a lot of the healings, and I never ever expected. The scripture says, believers shall lay hands on the sick. And I pointed out something last week, and I want to tell you something. We had Susan especially pray for Joanne. Joanne coughed so hard in the night that she just didn't have the energy to get ready to come this morning. But anyway, she had an arm that was like it was paralyzed. And so we prayed for her last Sunday morning, and I thought it's going to be a long time because she heard it before, and it took a long time. And within 2 or 3 days, she was able to feed herself with the right hand, arm. And last night, she cut Chuck and my hair with her bad arm, which is almost perfect. We prayed for it 1 week ago. The last time that happened, when she fell on that shoulder and hurt it, it was 2 months, 3 months. And see, do you expect that? But remember the scripture I quoted? In the scripture is, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if we don't see a miracle, we give up. If Peter didn't walk through the door, it must be his angel. It can't be Peter, but it was Peter. Are you following me? That's because that's who we are. But I tell you what, probably you're changing. Glenn, you're changing.
I think Jesus is pretty tough on fig trees myself, but I don't know why he did that. There's somehow or other the explanation about, well, it represents the nation of Israel. Well, I don't know, maybe, but it wasn't the time for figs yet, for one thing. So, but anyway, and then it almost seems like he's showing off, you know. You Fifth, that was nothing. If you believe it, you can do, you know, move mountains or whatever. Oh my, it was. If Jesus did it, it's right. But still, some of those things are just puzzling, aren't they? But in the meantime, it is a really good expression of faith. You know, it's good to see the Dockles here, and I expect before the service is over, we'll pray with Emily, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Emily got healed. You know, I don't want to be too big a deal about my faith, but as Keith was saying, it's coming. You know, it's kind of coming without observation. Just something like expectation. I don't know if it's expectation, kind of. I'm kind of expecting you to get healed, Emily. Or I wouldn't go, what? I wouldn't do that. It'd be great. It wouldn't be a huge surprise. But anyway, and as far as I'm concerned, it's an expression of faith that the Dockles are operating in to come here today. You know, God bless you. I was affected by Pablo sharing what he shared. And, you know, there is a way of demonstrating that you have faith by the persistence.
Yes.
You know, by the persistence.
Amen.
That, you know, Jesus kind of talks about him all at the same time. And I think there's a reason for that. It is a way of demonstrating. You know, if you don't expect, you give up pretty quick. Or if you don't, you know, you kind of figures, you give up. You give up pretty quick. You know, if you're expecting, you stay with it. You make yourself real annoying to the Lord. You know? So anyway, it's good. Mm-hmm.
I too was impacted by what Pablo shared, only because, you know, he went to one of those scriptures that we really don't want to talk about. Like, so why aren't we here? Well, because I'm not there. I mean, and it's clear, it's us, right? I'm confident that I don't have enough faith to move a mountain yet. But that's not the point. The point is the promise that through God, all things are possible. And I think that we could make a small little claim that we've been hanging around this church for a very long time is a pretty good demonstration of faith. Because, let's face it, from a natural-minded entertainment value, this is pretty weak. But from a spiritual point of view and what God's done in our lives, I just look back and go, glory. I mean, we talk about how things are happening. You know, we get up and we share how God's moving our lives. And as Keith brought out, it comes without observation, but I would add a caveat. I have observed the changes in all of you and what God's doing in you. And it's a blessing to me. And it is what helps fire the natural in me to be persistent, to stay after it. I wanted to give a testimony today about Brent and Emily, simply because it's something I need to share, and they're here to hear, which is, I hope will bless them. Several months ago, I was being tested by the Lord and out of work and not sure what I was going to be doing. But I needed a vehicle. And I had some situations going on in my family that I had a nephew that needed a vehicle. And, you know, just one thing led to another, but Brent and Emily had a vehicle they wanted to sell. And I had a vehicle I needed to buy. And then God moved in my life and in ways that were far, far beyond what I ever thought would happen. And I've needed that vehicle. That vehicle has become very important to me. And I've been blessed immensely by being able to do and move forward with that. And that, in turn, allowed me to help my nephew, which allowed him to do something, you know, and it's, I don't want to get all, like, play it forward or pay for it forward. However, I do think a little bit of that works in what God expects of us, you know. It is a faith that we need to demonstrate. I continue to be reminded daily about the choices that we make and the decisions that we have to make to continue on. And it's difficult. As those of you who know us know that the last year has been a very difficult year on my wife and I. And yet, I've never felt better in my position with God. Friday night, we were at a funeral. And at the very last minute, someone came up and asked me to do one of the readings. Which, yeah. And someone was a little nervous about getting up in front of people, and that's an area where God's really blessed me well. Not my problem. And was able to do something that, you know, was impactful to the family in their difficult time. And, you know, as I reflected upon that, I had it was easy to look back and say that, you know, I would not have been able to do that and have the heart to do that the way that I was if it hadn't been for being persistent. And then I'll make one last comment and say, my good brother Ken stopped by yesterday and we just chatted about God. And it's amazing, but I think we talked about four different things that have already been mentioned today about what's going on in our lives and where we are and how we're standing on the Scriptures and how we're looking to the Scriptures. And there's just no way you can tell me that God is not among us and is not working. There is no way that the things that were shared and brought already today, because they lined up so much with just a conversation of where two brothers and their hearts were at. So I guess it's just a statement of encouragement to persevere and acknowledge that it's a race that we're running and it's difficult to win. And the winning is the fact that you're running the race and you're seeking. And seeking with the knowledge that you don't know it, you don't have it, that God is going to give it to you or reveal it to you. But you have to keep after it.
First, I'm just going to give a really quick testimony of, I got two of them, kind of. One's kind of on a deeper spiritual side, the other's on a physical. Monday, I've been going, I've been working out and stuff at Gold's and stuff and trying to meet this challenge thing. But the trainer put some weight on a bar and I was going to do, I think it's called a deadlift or something. Well, it was too much. And of course, I tried it once, tried it twice, got a sharp pain, did it once more, which was stupid. And I said, oh, no, I'm done with this. And I could tell right away that I had really did something to the small of my back. So I didn't do the next exercise because that was something lifting where it would have bowed my back. And then I did the rest of the workout. So by the time I got home, noonish or whatever, I mean, I was ginger. I was tender. And I just prayed. You know, and even though, here's the thing. Now, did I kind of do that to myself? Yes. But that didn't stop me from asking God to heal me. And I said, Lord, just touch my back and give me a quick recovery, you know. So I nursed it that day and I got up Tuesday morning. Hard time getting out of bed. And then I got up and I felt pretty good for a while. I knew it was going to snow Tuesday night, and I snowblow four or five driveways. And I thought, boy, I should really be able to do this. And I just went along. Well, during the day, it got a little better. And that night, I did four driveways and went to bed, got up Wednesday morning, thought, well, that wasn't. But that was just from laying around. So I got up. Then I felt pretty good. Then I went to the gym and did my workout. And anyway, all I have right now is just a little bit of stiffness, you know. And I'm 68 years old. That's not normal, I don't think, for somebody to heal that fast from a back thing. So the other was, as I was wondering, I had some stuff I was going to bring that related to chapter 12 in Revelations, but I don't know if it's a setting today. But I was, after I went, you know, and I stopped at Corky's to get copies made, but then, you know, knew we'd, it was good we got to have this long conversation and sharing. And I got to thinking, because I shared something about what God had done because of this word. And I was thinking of it this morning. You know, it's a miracle when God heals somebody physically. But what if somebody has something that's been with them maybe most of their life?
And after they got saved, it still was there. It got hidden a little bit and kind of pushed down. But, see, what I've discovered is, if you have a heart for God, then He's going to make you right. And this relates to Pam. Because I don't know how long it was. It was probably 5-6 years before she got sick that, you know, I finally made a decision that I would give a shot to hearing this word. Because I kind of got to the point where it was, well, how could it be, how could it not help to listen to the Word of God, you know? But I was, it wasn't very often. I was working. I'd put it in between one town to the next, and then I'd probably put music back on, or I'd put it for 10 minutes going from here to there, and sometime at home, and da-da-da. And then I'd read, you know, when I'd get up in the morning or whatever. But what happened was, without me knowing, God was going down into this area. And let's, I'll just address the area, selfishness. I mean, you know, one of the reasons I took the job I did and I work long hours was to provide for my family. But that's, you know what, that's what you're supposed to do. So that wasn't a big generosity thing necessarily. It's like Ken liked to, if he worked hard all week, then he wanted to have some gratification on the weekend. Whatever. So I'm throwing that out. So what happened was, in a process of 4 or 5 years before Pam got sick, God was doing a work through this word in me. And it was months, couple months before we knew, that I started having these feelings like, you know, man, just spending too much time out here working at the stable because I have a horse and da-da-da-da. And God had changed the situation there that made all these decisions a little bit easier for me. And there wasn't the climate there kind of for people for me to ride with. You know, they were doing Western Pleasure, which is real slow and everything. And I had a horse that was trained to do reining, which is spinning and sliding to a stop and chasing cattle. And so I thought, maybe I should get rid of this horse. And I kind of threw it out, and all of a sudden I got two people that wanted him, and I got really good money for him, and I sold him. Well, it was 2 months later that we finally figured out why Pam had this pain in her leg and that she had what she had, cancer. Now, Ken, for all of his life before this, would have been a horrible person to be taking care of his wife. But because of this, it was the first time I just went, you know what? I am going to give her every part of my life to make her, you know, to take care of her. I mean, it was just like, it was so easy. And that was absolutely, totally against everything in me. And I didn't do it perfectly, you know. And it, you know what? It's not all gone. But He did what He did for that time that I know my wife knew that God's Word had changed something in her husband that nobody had done up until that time. No sermons, no preaching, no whatever, no hearing from your wife ever took that away except this word. So that's a glorious thing, because until things like that happen into you, you're not going to, you know, there's changes. And all of us have them. Guess what? I am not the only one. But that's between you and God. And that was the other thing. Why did he wait 30 years of walking kind of with the Lord to bring that about? Because it's His time. And there's a reason for it. So, now it's like, Lord, I still have some of that in me because I want it gone so that now I will do that for anyone, for the church. I want that unselfishness for the gospel. And you know, God's going to do something. It's too, you know, as you keep listening, I mean, it's a promise. And anybody can have this. I'm going to keep stressing that anybody can have that. That you can begin to know. I'm beginning to know little things about God that has increased my faith. I trust Him. Nobody is in control other than God. And I'm just waiting to see how He's going to lay it out. Because, you know, there's some... I was noticing in chapter 12 in Revelations, it's about where... you know, and Revelations is hard, no doubt, because it's not all revealed yet. Because God hasn't revealed it. And no man's going to figure it out till He reveals it. Amen. You know, but He is starting to shine little lights. And it's when this, it says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And it goes on to say, you know, He drew a third of the stars down. And it says, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, you know, at one time we were saying we were the man child, you know, the male child, da 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 da. Well, there's a scripture that says there's only one who's going to rule with a rod of iron, and that's Christ. So I believe that this is Christ born. Caught up to God and His throne after His ministry and whatever. It says, then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay? Then there was a war and the angels fought with the devil and his you know, followers, and they lost and he did not prevail, and so the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth. And Keith, did you bring it on Sunday night or Sunday morning about that? Was that Sunday night? Yeah. Well, I know 6 months or in the last year, whenever, I'd been reading through here and that, and I thought, you know, it's interesting. It said he spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Well, there's no, I mean, that doesn't make sense in the natural. But it makes sense in the spiritual if you consider a flood of deceiving doctrines, preachings, and words. Because he wanted to swallow her up, take truth away, you know, mix it all up so that they didn't have the truth anymore. But it says the Lord God helped, he let the earth help the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, from that time when Jesus was resurrected, God has made a way for the true church to be hidden. It's not always apparent because he's manipulating the devil. But he says, I always have a remnant who know my word. And I think we are part of it, what is being somewhat exposed now, because we've been hidden. It's been hidden, whoever. And there's many throughout the world that are in this position right now, I believe, that have been hearing this truth coming, and it's beginning to form. And, you know, the church itself in general has kind of, I mean, I think this was brought way back when one time, but God put the front out there that, and it was big enough. I mean, the church is big enough, has been for quite some time, that it could kind of, you know, fight back the forces that want to just demolish the church for its, you know, completely do away with it. But it's been there, and it's had enough faith that it stood. And it's kind of like that's the earth swallowing up all these accusations and deceptions that the devil's trying to put forth. But he's starting to break through. Because he's starting to have as an effect, which this word says he will. But God has a people that are also going to fulfill his will. And they're going to bring the ones to him that he wants before God puts his wrath out on the earth. And even during that time, it says God has his people. Now, I'd just soon not end up there. But if I do, I do. You know, I used to be scared. Like, what if there's a rapture and I don't go? You know what's crazy? After I was looking in the scriptures and stuff, there was still enough faith that let me see that there were still believers after the tribulation. Or after the, if there was a taking away. Because they're there. They're there when God pours out his wrath. But it says he protects them because they have his name written. And it's in the book of life. And the rest of the world gets the wrath of God. And that all comes after this segment that I just read. So that's the hope. And how does God do that? Well, he might start today by backing up his word with power. Not because we're anybody special. You know, one of the messages I'd love to say to the world, whatever you think about the church, you're probably about 90% right. Because we have been hypocrites. You know? And we've been arrogant and almighty. And you know what? I'm so far from being what I should be, but God has put something in my heart that says he can change all that. And besides that, if that's not my heart, then I don't... Well, I want to be careful how I say this. I'm not so concerned about what my flesh does, because that is not my heart. My heart is a spiritual heart. My mind is being renewed daily from his word because I've been born again. And if you've been born again, but you know what? You can sit on it and it goes nowhere. But if you don't sit on it, God will keep renewing. He'll keep forming that spiritual man, which is the one that counts. You know, the flesh is just, it's an envelope. Not a nice one a lot of times, but it's what we have. So, he wants to develop the spiritual side. And if you have a heart for that, and you know what? It's changed my whole outlook on people. Because I'm one that, I'd get some kind of a revelation or whatever, and it's like, do it. You know? I got hurt about that at home, by the way. And I was, but just do it. Yeah. And then finally, God put this big mirror in my face and said, well, do it. And I couldn't. You know? And neither can a lot of you. We're not supposed to be able to. You know, we've been having this discussion about faith and And how much do we, you know, we say, well, we do have a will. And I said, yeah, and I think the best thing I can do is say, Lord, you take my will and do what I need. You know, I mean, so I've come to the place where, Lord, I can't pray. Help me pray. Bring me to the place I can. I can't. I'm weak. That's what he's all about. And you know what? He loves those words. He loves people saying, we need you. We can't do it. That he loves it. So let that be our cry.
Was Joanne okay? Yeah, okay. I had Tandy go check on her. Well, I think it was about a week ago, wasn't it, that I asked Candy, I said, why don't you call Emily and see if she'll come over after church? Of course, that's 12, you know, about 12 o'clock today, and pray for her. And she, of course, she came early, but which is good. And anyway, and so I just felt it. I thought, you know, come on over. We have seen some real profound things happen in a series of dreams that I had 20 years ago or close to it. I was down in Kentucky, and I saw Susan sitting in the back where she's right now, and we had a church full of people, and in several we had a series of dreams, but in one of the dreams there was a man in a wheelchair sitting towards the back, and I was up in the front, and prideful self, like I, you know, like the flesh is, and I was sitting here, or standing up in front, bringing something really profound, you know, just really great and wonderful and exciting, and I saw Susan get up, and I knew in my mind what she was going to do, and I think in my mind I said, no, Susan, don't. Not now. Don't do it right now. And, of course, the Lord prompted her anyway, and she came over, and she put her hands on this individual, and the next thing I knew, they leaped up, and they were jumping all over the church, totally healed. And it happened a couple of times. And so recently, and I say this, I got some other information along with this, but to say that the Bible says, do all have the gift of healing? And the answer is obviously no. But does God does give specific gifts to people. And I saw some miraculous things happen when I first got saved. And did I have the gift of healing? I don't know. But we saw some miracles, a number of miracles. And until something happened to me. And it took me years to understand what happened. I got lifted up with pride. Everybody I pray for is healed. And it stopped. That was the end of the healings. And so I have an exhortation. I have some advice. And the thing is, if you want to see God do wonderful things, which we want to see, humble yourself before him and let him do it, but don't take any credit. If you see God heal somebody, don't take any credit. And I think Susan is a top-notch individual in this area. I looked at it, and I don't think Susan is going to want to take any credit for whatever God does. Remember, Pilate said to Jesus, he said, well, two different statements here, but he said, well, Pilate said to him, he says, aren't you going to answer me? He had him before him, and he didn't answer him. He said, aren't you going to answer me? And he said, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or let you go? And Jesus made this statement. He says, you wouldn't have any power at all except it's given to you from above. And you know what happened? It sent the heebie-jeebies all the way through Pilate. And he tried to release him. He wanted to let him go, and they wouldn't do it. And so But in John the Baptist, he made a statement and he says, no man can receive anything except it's given to him from above. You know what we're beginning to understand? It's God that heals. God made us. God can heal us. All we are to do is exercise all the faith that we can and ask him to do it. If he does it, he does it. And you know what? When he does, he gets the glory. God is not willing that any flesh should glory in his presence. And I thought about, over the years, of the prideful prayer, you know, whatever, people that have gone about and supposedly with the gift of healing and prayed for the sick. You want to lose the healing ministry? Just let pride take over. Want some credit for it. Okay. We're going to ask God to heal Emily. If he does, I didn't do it. And neither did you. Are you following me? God does the work. And remember what the scripture that somebody quoted this morning about First Corinthians, the second chapter, where it says, and Apollos watered, and Cephas planted the seed, or no, one of them put the seeds in, the other one watered, but God gives the increase. We have to remember who's who. Anyway, let's come up to the front, and we want to make sure that we pray for Emily. And this is we're different. We're kind of a different bunch than we used to be, Emily. We're quite a bit different.